This is Audible.
Blackstone Audio presents Open Wide by Melissa Ambrosini. This book is read by Melissa Ambrosini.
Forward. I've been working with Melissa for some years, and I'm happy and incredibly grateful to say that we've been good friends ever since. Aside from the fact that she has a contagious and unstoppable enthusiasm for life, the ability to light up a room with her smile, and is driven to create change, I genuinely believe that she is a thought leader in her field and relentlessly committed to giving others real-life tools to live their lives at 100%. Anyone who's spent time with Melissa knows that she is a shining light and the real deal when it comes to enthusiasm for wellness and helping others. In 2016, I was so honored to award her the Active Living Award for all her incredible work she does to inspire and educate women. Being with Melissa just makes you want to be a better human, and it's refreshing to find an openly generous and informative book about relationships, love, sex, and authenticity written by someone who has the bravery to be so genuinely honest about her life, with the pure intention to help and support others. I cannot imagine anyone who wouldn't benefit from the wisdom in these pages. I'm so excited for you to read it. Open Wide is a gift to all of us. Lorna Jane. Introduction. Why a book about love, soulful sex, and relationships. It's taken me almost 12 long, grueling months to actually sit my bum down and start writing this book. With a looming deadline from my publishers, I know I have to start, but I'm almost paralyzed by self-doubt, fear, and insecurity. You see, I have this presence called my inner mean girl. That's the name I've given to that annoying, fear-based voice we all have inside our minds. There are many different names for it: resistance, fear, your ego, your inner critic, your shadow self, your smaller self, and the list goes on. But I like mean girl, or bad boy for the dudes. Giving that voice a name really helps you separate yourself from its chatter and see that it's not you or the truth of who you are. You will come to realize that the truth of who you are is love, but more on that later. We all have our own version of this little voice inside our head. Nobody is exempt. No matter whether you're normal Nancy or a monk meditating on the mountains. Heck, even the Dalai Lama himself has one. Though, I'm guessing he's mastered his like a boss. All of us are still growing and evolving in this classroom called life. So we've all got our own versions of that voice. But the good news is, our mean girls, or bad boys, are here to teach us some incredibly powerful lessons and guide us home to our truth. Ever since my first book hit the shelves, I knew I had another one bubbling away inside me. But, as always, when things are important to me, my mean girl reared her ugly head. Who do you think you are writing a book about love, soulful sex, and relationships? You don't have a PhD in the subject matter. You don't know enough. Get over yourself. You won't be able to do it. People may have loved your first book, but who's to say that was anything more than a fluke? And on she went. It's pretty handy that I wrote an entire book on mastering your mean girl, the no BS guide to silencing your inner critic and becoming wildly wealthy, fabulously healthy, and bursting with love. Because right now, I need my own advice. fast. To be honest, I'm scared to write this book and my mean girl is telling me I can't do it. But I have to practice what I preach. I have to master my own mean girl and share what's burning deep within, which I know, once understood and implemented, can profoundly shift the way you live your life on all levels. Before we dive deeper, let's get a few things straight. Outside of my own exploration, I am not a sex, tantra, or relationship expert, but I feel deeply compelled to share what I have learned about relationships, deep love, and soulful sex, because it's radically rocked my world, and my hope is that it sparks you to open wide to depths of mind-blowing, heart-expanding love you may never have known existed. It's also important to note that everything in this book is how I live my life. These are the tools I use to open wide every day in my own life. So you might be thinking, why the heck did I write a book about relationships? Well, as you know, relationships are a huge part of our life. They can be our greatest source of joy and happiness, or they can tear us down into quivering wrecks. They are the biggest game we play, yet we're not given a manual on how to play them, and no one ever teaches us. Imagine sitting down with a Sudoku grid for the first time and not being told what the rules are. You wouldn't get very far, would you? And yet most people are doing exactly that in their real life relationships. Thrust into the thick of things, flying blind and hoping they can figure out what's going on before it's too late. And if you're anything like me, you fumble. You make poor, really poor choices in men and friendships, wasting hours, scratch that, wasting days, months, and even years holding grudges against people and agonizing, worrying, and stressing over what he or she or you once said or did. And if you've done any personal development work before, you probably know enough to look for the lessons in these moments. Because yes, there's always a lesson and everything is always unfolding exactly as it's supposed to. These are important concepts to grasp, but, and this is a very big but, what if you knew the insider info that meant you didn't have to learn those lessons the hard way? What if you could play the game in a way that didn't end up in pain? Think about all those times you've stressed, worried, expelled energy, and lost sleep over a particular situation or argument with someone. What else could you have done with that precious time? You could have learned another language, performed a random act of kindness, honed your photography skills, or become an epic pianist. And I could have written a whole library of books, but we didn't. Instead, that precious time is lost and gone forever. The truth is, we only have a certain amount of time here in this beautiful earth suit we've been given. Think about it mathematically for a moment. There are 365 days in a year, and the average life expectancy is 78 years. That means we've got fewer than 30,000 days on this planetary playground. And they'll go by in a flash. So don't you think we should figure out how to use our precious time wisely? That's why I created this radically real relationship guide for you, so you can cultivate kick-ass connections with everyone you come into contact with and experience deep love in all your relationships. I also want to light the way for you to experience soulful, heart-opening, expansive, mind-blowing sex with your lover too, or lovers, whatever floats your boat. Does that all sound like your cup of herbal tea? If so, sister, buckle up because you're in for one hell of a ride. An important note before we go any further. This is a book about deep love, soulful sex, and relationships. And as we all know, when it comes to romantic relationships, they come in all shapes and sizes, from male and female to male and male, female and female, and any other combination you can think of. For the sake of simplicity throughout this book, I will mainly be speaking from my own perspective on intimate relationships, which is one male and one female. But make no mistake, I'm talking to everyone. Even if I've happened to use one pronoun instead of another, these principles are universal. So no matter what your dream relationship looks like, please know that this info applies to you. You're so very welcome and loved here, and I can't wait to help you manifest your soul's deepest, heartfelt desires. On that note, I should also say, I don't want to help you manifest deep love with just your honey bun. I want to help you experience profound love in all your relationships, including your friends, your family, and anyone else who's important to you. The cool thing about this, which most people don't realize, is that in the vast majority of instances, exactly the same principles apply to all your relationships, whether they're romantic or platonic. Even if I happen to be talking about one particular kind of pairing, know that these tools and tips can apply to whichever relationship you'd most like to work on or most like to call in. Yes, there are some topics we'll cover that are specific to your lover, like at the end of this book when we venture into the boudoir, but for everything else, these are universal laws we're talking about here, babe. So drink it all in with an open mind and look for the cosmic truths that apply to you. While we're talking housekeeping stuff, now is also a good time to mention that I've changed the names and identifying features of most of the people mentioned in this book to protect their privacy. And all the stories are shared with love and permission. With that out of the way, let's get straight to the juicy stuff. My story. Just to give you a little more background on me, I'm in my 30s and I have had my fair share of relationships. I've experienced infidelity and I too have been a wee bit unfaithful in my time. I've had my heart ripped out of my chest and stomped on, which you can read all about in Mastering Your Mean Girl. I've dated some lovely men, and I've survived some not so lovely ones. I have begged, as in on my knees pleading men to love me because I didn't love myself. And although I don't regret anything, I've also done many things I'm not very proud of. But most importantly of all, I have learned a lot in the process. I'm now married to my soulmate, Nick. He is the man of my dreams. I often pinch myself about getting to wake up next to this divine human being and share my life with him. My reality is wilder than my dreams. But before Nick, I didn't believe in soulmates, the concept of the one, or even monogamy in general. I didn't want to get married, have kids, or subscribe to Till Death Do Us Part. I thought it was all a load of BS, and I had some deep wounds that needed healing and scar tissue that needed massaging. But truthfully, I probably doubted all that stuff because I'd never before experienced the kind of deep love within myself or in a relationship that would make me believe in it. And the fact that it suited me. What unfolded when I finally opened wide was beyond anything I could have ever imagined. And I could not be more grateful. But here's the thing. If you haven't yet experienced this kind of love within your own life yet, I urge you to stay open wide, because you can have spine-tingling sex and mind-blowing love that fills you up in ways you didn't know existed. It is possible. It is your birthright. You are worthy of all the love, joy, happiness, and inner peace you truly desire, even if your mean girl tells you otherwise. You are love. You deserve to experience love. If you're rolling your eyes in disbelief and letting your mean girl say things like, "Yeah, right, Melissa, this won't happen for me," I invite you to open wide and suspend that disbelief as we go on this journey together. I didn't believe it either until I opened myself up to the possibility and entertained the idea just the slightest amount. That's the first step, openness. Stay open in your heart and mind and try not to close yourself off, my sweet friend. If you notice yourself closing off and shutting down, that's okay, but ask yourself why. Pull out your journal and write about what's coming up for you. I'm here to hold your hand and support you on your journey. I want you to experience deep levels of love because you deserve it. So, let's get this journey started. Think of me like one of your besties. I will guide you and show you how I manifested oceans of love in my own life, starting by falling in love with myself, something I never thought possible. Once I had the self-love sorted, I was then able to call in more love all around me, including manifesting my soul sisters and my soulmate. In this book, I'll show you how I did it all and how you can do it too. But please know, right here and now, that you already have everything you need inside you. Everything. So don't think of me as a guru or an expert or a lecturer. I'm none of those things. And you don't need them anyway. I'm simply a friendly travel guide holding the torch as you journey home to your truth. So are you ready to begin? Let's take it from the top, shall we? For many years, I rented the penthouse in Struggle City, where I hosted destructive relationship after destructive relationship. Not just with men, but with all my friends. I ran from men and myself because I was too scared to commit. When things got serious, I ran. When things got hard, I ran. When things were too easy, I ran. One of my ex-partners used to joke that I always had my running shoes at the front door, ready to sprint when things got too much. It's true. I was so scared to commit. I told myself I was missing out if I settled down. What was really going on was that I was so scared to truly see myself. As you will remember, yep, you already know everything. I'm just here to remind you. Relationships are our biggest mirror, our biggest teachers, and our biggest spiritual assignments. Looking, and I mean really looking, at your relationships is the fastest way to grow and evolve. But back then, I wasn't ready, willing, or even the slightest bit open to looking at myself. And although it may have looked like I had it all together on the outside, I was falling apart on the inside and dealing with depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and an eating disorder. I was so unhappy and uncomfortable in my own skin. After running from myself for many years, burning the candle at both ends and trashing my body, I ended up in hospital in 2010 with no more wick left to burn and nowhere else to run and hide. My friends didn't want to hang around me, and I had just come out of yet another destructive relationship where I found myself questioning why I didn't want to get married, have kids, or settle down. Yuck. I hated that term. The thought of settling down with one person for the rest of my life made me want to puke. So, how did I go from an unwell relationship cynic to healthy and madly in love? Well, first off, it's important to point out that this took time and backslides. And I didn't go from being in hospital to being entirely well, or from cynic to madly in love overnight. But the first step I took was to open wide. I mastered my mean girl and I entertained the possibility of there being another way. Because there is, my sweet friend. I'm not here to tell you to settle down. Instead of settling down, we're going to rise together and open you up to the possibility of there being another, more heart-centered way so that you can experience deep love, connection, and soulful sex. And if you're already experiencing deep love and soulful sex, get ready to take all your relationships to the next level. After a spectacular encounter with rock bottom in 2010, when my life and health collapsed around me, the universe sent me a guardian angel disguised as a man named Dom, who then became my boyfriend. And although I was in the worst physical, mental, and emotional shape of my entire life, and maybe what I should have done was spend time on my own learning to love myself, dialing up my worthiometer, and upping my self-care, I didn't. Because this was the journey I needed to go on with Dom. And to be honest, I felt broken. And it felt so damn good to have someone scoop me up in his arms and care about me deeply. We were together for about 3 years, and during that time, we both experienced massive growth and were both so deeply committed to doing the inner work. I attended hundreds of personal development courses, workshops, and seminars. I read every spiritual book I could get my hands on, meditated daily, chanted out my demons, sage cleansed myself and everything I owned. I released the limiting beliefs and stories that were holding me back. I saw healers, coaches, counselors, and shamans, had my cards read and went to body, mind, and soul workers, and every kind of energy practitioner you can think of. I did past life regression, cleansed my aura, balanced my chakras, relived and recreated my birth, plus so much more. I was deeply committed to my growth because deep down, I knew that the pain and suffering I was experiencing weren't my truth. I knew that God, the universe, source, love, the divine mother, whatever you want to call it, didn't put us here on earth only to suffer. I was open to there being another way. I didn't know what that looked like or how to get there. I just knew there had to be another way and I was open to it. To be honest, I was done with the suffering. It was exhausting and I was over it. This was one of the hardest periods of my life, and Dom held space for me so beautifully during that time of massive growth and supercharged healing, for which I will be forever grateful. But the more inner work I did on myself, and the more layers I peeled back, the closer I came to my truth and to the deep knowing that our time together was coming to an end. I knew that we weren't going to get married, that we weren't meant to have children together, and that I didn't want to spend the rest of my life with him. This was so hard to admit because there was nothing wrong with that relationship. It had served such a divine purpose, but that chapter was coming to a close. Still though, the fear was sky high and my mean girl told me that I couldn't be alone. But my growing self-awareness meant I was also experiencing deep inner pain and suffering from ignoring and denying my truth. It ate away at me and caused my health to decline. I felt like I was hiding a big fat secret that was making me so unhappy and unwell. As I was realizing, there's only so much lying to yourself you can take before you start to implode. And all the self-deception was starting to send me towards an inevitable breaking point. You see, we all have an inbuilt compass. This compass is often referred to as our intuition, the higher self, the spirit, the soul, or the truth. For the sake of simplicity throughout this book, I will call it intuition. And there's always a price to pay when you ignore your intuition. Sure, you can suppress and run from it for days, weeks, and even years like I did. But eventually, its clarion call will be so loud that it pierces your soul with its cry. It can even manifest as disease in the body. So let's just say it's best to not ignore your intuition. Although I had done a lot of work on myself, I still wasn't confident enough yet to walk away from that relationship. So I unconsciously manifested a man, let's call him Abman, into my life to give me the confidence and courage my mean girl needed to leave that relationship. This man was gorgeous, funny, successful, and in case you hadn't guessed, had abs of steel. I was so swept up in his looks and the idea of us being together that I couldn't believe he was interested in me. The first telltale sign that my worthiometer and self-love bucket were way too low. We flirted and my confidence grew. Although in hindsight, I realize now it was fake confidence. This fake confidence led me to want to end my relationship with Dom. And because everything is energy, Dom picked up on this and he ended it with me first. The day I moved out, I felt like I didn't need to lie to myself anymore. I felt like I could breathe deeply again. From there, I began to grow extremely fond, even obsessed, with the idea of a relationship with Abman. My fake confidence, courage, and worthiness continued to grow the more interest he showed in me. The chemistry was insane. I was so physically attracted to this man. We flirted, and when he touched my hand or brushed past me, my whole being would shiver. But we never made love or even kissed. Before that could happen, he dropped me like a hot potato. He stopped returning my calls and decided he wanted to resume things with his own on-again, off-again girlfriend. I was devastated. I cried, actually, I wailed, grieved, and felt like I was spiraling back down into that deep, dark abyss I was medicated for in 2010. In hindsight, I can now see that the reason I was so devastated was because, again, that relationship was built on fear, not love. From day one, I was attracted to Abman because I wanted him to fill a void within me. My mean girl told me, "This is too good to be true, to have such a good-looking guy interested in you." My worthy-ometer and self-love levels were at an all-time low, and I desperately needed someone else to validate me. Not a good idea. Any relationship built on fear has an expiry date. But relationships built on love go the distance. So, there I was again. Single, incredibly unhappy, depressed, living at my sister's place and with a very loud mean girl singing in my ears. Hey Rock Bottom, we meet again. The great thing about Rock Bottom, however, is that the only way out is up. And up I got. I cracked open my journal, dusted off my crystals, whipped out my meditation pillow, went inward and did the work. But this time, it was different. I committed to being and sitting with myself in my own space which felt very scary for someone who had spent decades avoiding herself at all costs. I dialed up my worthiometer and worked on myself, not out of fear as I had done in the past, but from a place of love. None of it was because I felt like I was broken or needed fixing, but because I was finally open to the possibility of things being different, that there was or could be another way. I was so sick and tired of the way my life and relationships had been unfolding that I wanted to experience something deeper, more open, more expansive and real. I wanted to experience love and unity on all levels. But was it possible? I had hope, but I wasn't sure. I began shifting my self-work so that it had a distinctive focus on relationships. I studied the works of great relationship, sex, and tantra teachers. I created space physically and mentally for the type of union I wanted to call in. And I journaled about my dream man and our relationship, including how I wanted to feel when I was in his presence and about what we did and created in the world together. I had fun with it for months, and finally, for the first time in my life, I felt content within myself. I felt love for myself. I wasn't running after the next guy who walked into my life just to fill a void. I'd never experienced this type of internal alchemy. I hadn't even known it existed. Then, as the universe so often does, it presented me with another opportunity for growth. Enter another incredibly handsome, tall, tanned man. Let's call him Toned Tommy. Just like Dom, he was a divine being I loved to be around. But I knew deep down he wasn't the one. Wait, dear God, did she just say the one? Hang in there, sister. At this point in my journey, I was still not yet convinced of the one or soulmates either. Hell, I wouldn't have known soulful sex if it bent me over and spanked me. But Toned Tommy was super sweet and super cute. We flirted, kissed, had fun, went on a few dates, and I could see myself being with him. In fact, in my head, I thought we could probably have a very nice, simple life together. The white picket fence, the dog, the two kids. It was pretty damn fine. But was I okay with fine? Did I want nice and simple? To be honest, I couldn't fault him. But deep down, my intuition was adamant that we weren't meant to be together. And I didn't want to ignore it ever again. My mean girl also piped up with some valid-sounding arguments. You won't get any better than this, Melissa. He's a nice guy, so stop being so picky. You're verging on 30 and all your friends are getting married and having kids. You need to hurry up and find a husband. And here's a perfectly good man sitting right in front of you. Old Melissa might have been taken in by these perfectly aimed barbs. But I decided to master my main girl and not let her win. I had to rise up, be brave, and eventually Toned Tommy and I ended it. Even though there was nothing wrong with him or the relationship, I just knew in my heart that he wasn't the one for me, and I had to honor that. At the end of the day, there is no right or wrong. Your labeling depends on your perception of the matter, and you have to respect that. There was another good reason I had to end it too. You see, when you entertain a relationship out of fear, it takes up space. Space for a potential relationship bursting with love to enter. And let's face it, the universe is not going to throw a dream lover your way if both your hands are busy gripping onto your safety net. How would you catch him? Newly single again, I started questioning things again. I questioned monogamy itself and wondered how. As naturally promiscuous beings, we could settle down with one person forever. It sounded crazy to me. I found myself asking questions like, why don't I want to get married and have children? Why can't I settle down? Why am I not excited about the same things my friends are? I felt that marriage had lost its true meaning and was no longer all it was cracked up to be. Most of us will have either witnessed in person or in the movies the weddings where the bride and groom act like puppets as they repeat vows they haven't really thought about, sing songs they don't care about, all in an environment their parents have chosen. And with the divorce rate unfortunately rising, to me, it didn't take a genius to see that the modern model of marriage and monogamy was quite possibly doing far more harm than good. Yes, I knew some people had long-lasting marriages and long-term relationships, but that seemed to be the only way people measured a successful relationship, by whether or not the couple was still together. Huh? That's not good enough in my book. What about spiritual, physical, and emotional growth? What about quality over quantity? From my perspective, it seemed like a doomed proposition from the start. Half of all marriages straight up end in divorce. And with the other half, as a society, we seem to care about little except length, with only glancing regard given to the health or happiness of the respective parties. Why would I voluntarily sign up for that? It was in this moment that I decided, I am done. I'm over it. I'm not getting married or having kids. I'm better off alone. Who needs a man? I thought, I can do this all on my own. Then, another test from the universe. Enter Nick. Nick and I had known each other for about 3 years before this moment. But the funny thing was that we never really looked at each other. We never gave each other the time of day. We were polite, of course, but it was like there was a brick wall between us with a do not enter sign plastered over it. I mean, I think Nick is seriously frickin' hot. He is super successful and sexy in every way, from his intensely beautiful brown eyes that reflect his health, to his insanely chiseled face, his golden glittery skin that is totally flawless, and his body that you could grate activated cashew nut cheese on. He is also the successful music artist Broadhurst, and his voice on its own will make you want to open extremely wide, if you know what I mean. Not to mention the soft yet masculine, loving, open energy that he exudes from his soul. Why the heck did I not jump in back then? The universe had a different plan for us all along. All of a sudden, we kept finding ourselves at the same parties and events. I was so curious and instantly drawn to him. But unusually for me, it wasn't out of fear or of wanting him to feel something within me. It was deeper than that. It was like magnets joining together. It was undeniable. I was fascinated by him and his story and wanted to get to know him on a deeper level. One of our first proper conversations was on the beach where we sat and talked openly for hours. We spoke about monogamy, not wanting to have children, Nick already has a beautiful son Leo, having open relationships, tantra, everything. We were so open, real, and honest, something I had never experienced before. There was no barriers and no holding back because we had no expectations and nothing to lose. Our eyes were locked in a fixated state. We were both deeply present and connected and didn't realize that 3.5 hours had flown by until we were interrupted by my phone alarm going off telling me my parking had expired. This was the first time I experienced how fast time flies when we are fully present with each other. It was a total time warp. For the first time ever, there was no agenda or expectation, just pure openness. It felt safe and oddly familiar. After hours of soulful conversation, we reluctantly parted. Until our next date, which again was hours of deep, open, and soulful conversation on the beach. This was the first time we started speaking about sex in explicit detail and about some of Nick's experiences with Tantra, a 5,000-year-old Hindu mind-body practice of slow sex for intimacy and mind-blowing orgasms, and Taoism, an ancient Chinese religious and philosophical tradition. There had been a shift in our dynamic. Our openness went to a new level, and I was starting to really explore the possibilities of my sexuality for the first time. Again, we were both incredibly open because we had no expectations. Let me say that again, in case it didn't sink in for the first time. No expectations. In the past, when I was beginning a new relationship, I always put on my best front. I would only expose the shiny me, the best version of myself, so that I came across as someone the other person would want to be with. Not this time. With Nick, I was my full, open, and authentic self, warts and all. At this stage, we still hadn't even kissed. In fact, we were exploring the idea of having an open relationship and seeing other people. Nick read me a text message that he'd sent another girl he was going on a date with that night, and I was blown away by what he'd written. It was so deep and honest and poetic. I was inspired by his words and not jealous at all. In the past, I would have been triggered at the mere mention of him going on a date with someone else, but I was so confident and so sure of who I was that it didn't bother me. We both knew something between us was about to ignite. We didn't know what or when or how, we just knew. Our time together flew by again. I was so inspired by this man, which was something I'd never experienced before. I didn't know that you could be inspired by your partner. I thought I wanted him, but I wasn't sure or attached in any way. Ah, the freedom of no expectations. I was simply in the moment and totally open to anything. He was open too, with no baggage, expectations, or agenda. We didn't speak about our past or the future. We were fully present and simply wanted to share and be totally open with each other without fear. When two people come together without expectations, agendas, or baggage and allow themselves to open wide, the result is flow and unity. Very quickly, we fell madly, deeply, and passionately in love. Still with no expectations, just pure openness. Being with him felt like home. Like I had been with him in many lifetimes before. It was effortless, and I truly felt like I could be my full self, and I wasn't being judged. It was so easy. Wait, was it too easy? Shouldn't it be hard? Shh, mean girl. 2 weeks later, he proposed to me, and less than 6 months after that, we were married. That was April 2014, and as I sit here and read this, we are still bursting with love today. Of course, we're in our early years of marriage. I don't have a crystal ball, and no one knows what the future holds, but right now, in this moment, this is my truth. What I believe in my heart and what's resonating deep within. I tell you the story of our relationship not to brag, but to inspire you that it truly is possible to ditch your baggage, expectations, agendas, fears, and limiting beliefs, and open yourself up to a deeper kind of love that makes your heart sing. If I can do it, so can you, because I'm no more special than you. When we were being created, God didn't give me a bigger spoonful of specialness than he gave you. Sure, there are certain privileges I have, such as being born and raised in Australia with parents who love me and a healthy body. But if I can ditch my limiting baggage and open wide to deep love, then so can you. How to use this book. I've designed this book to be a beautiful journey, with each section building on the one that came before it. We start in part one by looking within. This is where you'll learn how to unleash the divine energy that lives inside you, aka your God essence. In part two, we zoom out and look around us. This is where you'll learn to discover the secret to rocking relationships, including how to call in your soulmate and experience the most divine, fulfilling love ever. Then in part three, we'll dive headfirst into the bedroom where I'll be sharing the keys to spine-tingling, mind-blowing, soul-filled sex. Yum. But can't I just skip straight to the sexy stuff? The temptation is strong, I know. But the truth is, the kind of sex I'll be teaching you about is grounded in connection, authenticity, vulnerability, truthfulness, honesty, self-love, and getting radically real with your lover, which means you need to have mastered the other building blocks first, the stuff in parts one and two, before you can put them into practice in the boudoir. So though it might be tempting to jump ahead to the sexy stuff, I want to encourage you to stick with me while we lay the all-important groundwork. After all, you wouldn't skip straight to dessert before eating your veggies, would you? Besides, if you're open to it, every single stage of this journey is filled with excitement, insight, and the thrill of discovery, not just the nudie bits. So, to continue the food analogy, it's not like you're going to have to struggle your way through a bowl of soggy, overcooked Brussels sprouts. Gross. Instead, I'll be dishing you up a gorgeous helping of the tastiest, crispiest, most nutrient-dense kale chips you've ever tasted. Mmm, yes, please. Why open wide? When it came to naming this book, right from the start, there was one name that sailed into my soul, dropped its anchor, and wouldn't let go. Open wide. If I had to sum up everything I've learned about loving myself and others, living as my best self, uniting with another soul, and experiencing life-changing sex, it would be with these two simple words. Open wide has become my mantra, my philosophy, and my guiding light. When I feel my mean girl start to whisper her fear-based nonsense to me, I say it to myself, open wide, Melissa. When expectations barge into my head and block me from the present moment, open wide. When shame or fear cause me to contract and shrink, open wide. When I'm stuck in my egoic energy and start barking orders at my stepson, open wide. When I'm hiding my truth from Nick, demanding that he somehow reads my mind, open wide. And when I'm laying in bed in the arms of my man and all I can think about is my to-do list, open wide. These two little words have become a powerful catalyst to springboard me back to love, softness, warmth, and openness. They soften my edges. They reconnect me with my God essence. They melt me into the present moment. They raise me to be the best version of myself, and they bring me home to my truth. My wish is that these two words become a powerful anchor for you too, a potent, ease-filled tool you can use whenever you catch yourself out of alignment and are desiring a return to love. Throughout this book, I'm going to be using this phrase as an invitation to you to soften your mind, body, heart and soul, to gently let go, to sink deeper within, to surrender further, and to peel back another layer. Whenever you hear these two words, open wide, I encourage you to stop for a second. Place your hands over your heart. Take in a deep breath. Soften. Tune in to your inner wisdom and allow the energy of the present moment to flow through you. Whenever I accept this invitation in my own life and allow myself to open wide, the insight and energy that follow never fail to instantly change my state, to uplift and inspire me to new levels. I still find myself astonished how such a simple action, consciously opening yourself up to what is, can have such powerful, profound results. So beautiful. Are you ready to accept this loving invitation for yourself? Are you ready to take your life, relationships, and lovemaking to new heights? Are you ready to open wide? Great. Let's dive in. Part 1. Unleashing your divine God essence. Chapter 1. Understanding the masculine and feminine and firm and fluid. Why does your heart beat? Have you ever stopped to ask yourself that question? If you're scientifically minded, you might have an answer at the ready. Duh, Melissa. Your heart beats because of an electrical impulse that originates in the right atrium, causing the atrial walls to contract and the cardiac muscles to pulsate. This forces blood into the ventricles. Okay, but tell me, what causes the electrical impulse? And what causes the impulse before that? And the one before that? And the one before that? And how far back can we go? This kind of deep spiraling thought experiment has occupied great thinkers from all fields for millennia, from scientists to philosophers, religious mystics, artists, and poets. There's only one answer that's ever rung true for me, and that is, ultimately, underneath everything, there is a divine life force that runs through every living thing. It's an innate intelligence that beats our heart, sprouts a seed, and blooms a bud. It's a magical force that turns a caterpillar into a butterfly, an acorn into an oak tree, and that grows a baby inside a woman's belly. This life force is in all of us. It's what makes us alive and conscious and curious. It's what gives us isness. It is life. So when we question the meaning of life, as all of us humans have done from the earliest cave people to the angstiest of modern teenagers, we could just as easily question the meaning of this life force itself. Why is it here? What is its purpose? What makes it tick? It took me a long time to find an answer to these questions, especially one that made sense to me on an intellectual level and a heart and soul level. But when I did, so many things I'd been wondering about clicked into place. In fact, life as a whole made a lot more sense. So what's the answer? What's the great ultimate driving desire of this mystical life force? Well, this life force longs to know itself. It longs to dance, tickle, delight, dive, swim, immerse, converse, collide, and play with itself. It longs to be in communion with itself. To know itself inside out, upside down, from one furthest edge to another. And because it is inside all of us, inside every living thing, one of the best ways this life force can know itself better is by communing with other living things. That's what it is seeking above all else, to better know itself by being in relationship with others. You see this divine truth play out in nature. Oak trees commune with each other underground, sending messages in ways we're only just beginning to understand. Ants have complex social structures and relationships with each other. Even marine plankton live in communities, talking to each other and helping each other. And of course, no pet owner could deny the sacred, heartfelt bond between themselves and their beloved pet. Then, of course, there are human relationships, the ultimate playground for this divine life force and the underlying theme of this whole book. As humans, our natural state is to be in relationship with others. Our innate life force gets off on it. Relationships are our divine right and sacred classroom, and boy, do they give this divine life force a chance to play, dance, and delight at the highest level. Of course, at times, relationships can also feel really challenging. We popped out into this world without a manual and have been forced to navigate our way in what feels like total darkness. Without an alternative, we learnt by watching those around us or soaking up the throwaway comments our elders themselves had picked up from the generation before. Someone we loved and looked up to, like our parents or school teachers, may have said, "Here's the rules. This is what you should and shouldn't do and say. This is how you should move through life. This is what you should do for work. This is what you should believe. This is right and this is wrong. This is truth and this is not truth. We only hang out with these people here, but we don't talk to those people over there. And we definitely don't like those types of people at all." It's safe to say that from childhood, you get conditioned. And unless you wake up, open wide, and do something about it, you will play out those beliefs that weren't even yours to begin with all your life. And that is not why we are here on this planet. We are here to learn, grow, evolve our human consciousness, and unlock our full potential. And if we don't, not only can life feel like a hard slog, but depending on your beliefs, you may have to come back time and time again until you learn your lessons. You might have felt the exciting rise in consciousness that's taking place right now. It's got everything to do with relationships, life force energy, and the magical union of the divine masculine and divine feminine energies. Everything this book is about. So it's important to understand where it all started. According to a study published in the journal Science, until a few thousand years BC, women and men were seen and treated as equals. With the advent of agriculture and the ability to accumulate resources, men set out about creating a patriarchal society, a male-dominated culture that repressed the feminine and looked down on its way of being. What had previously been a divine dynamic tango between men and women, with each respecting and cherishing the other, and each made better by the other's presence, suddenly became totally out of whack. Men ruled all, and qualities prized as masculine like assertiveness, ambition, and physical strength were prioritized over feminine qualities like caregiving, softness, and listening. We'll go into this in more detail later, but to give you an outcome in an activated nutshell, things did not go so well for women. Luckily for us in the West, we're now experiencing more choice, freedom, balance and equality than possibly any of our female ancestors. Of course, there's still a long way to go. And it's worth noting that there are still far too many parts of the world that have yet to experience this awakening and where women are still fighting to be treated as equal humans. For us, though, this shift and rebalancing of men's and women's roles is fundamental, necessary, and oh, so welcome. In fact, we are in a time some thinkers call the feminine rising, a unifying natural global process that brings the world together for the inclusivity of all living things, justice for all, and a new model of global identity that transcends national boundaries. It is taking place right now, and it is happening from the inside out. It will change the way you think, how you perceive, and what you believe. It will alter your perception of the world around you, and more importantly, it will change your relationship to absolutely everything that you know. It is very exciting and very expansive. But first, there's a question we need to answer. How did we get here? How did everything get so out of whack? I believe it stems from a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of masculine and feminine energies. For a truckload of reasons, including millennia of social conditioning, a lack of cultural education and awareness, and way too much time caught up in our heads rather than our truth, it's becoming incredibly difficult for the average person to grasp the true essence and beauty of both types of energy. This, in turn, exacerbates the problem. The cycle is perpetuated and it gets even harder to see the truth that's right in front of us, that both energies are sacred, divine, and totally necessary. Defining the indefinable. Before we go any further, we need to talk about how we talk about the concepts of masculine and feminine energy. Sometimes these two words, masculine and feminine, can limit or even block our understanding of this divine concept because they carry gender connotations. For that reason, it's totally fine to exchange them for words you feel more drawn to. Perhaps you resonate with the language of yin and yang or Shiva and Shakti, both of which are often used in Eastern traditions. Maybe you like word pairings like firm and fluid or strength and flexibility. These are great too. Or perhaps you prefer imagery and would prefer conceptualizing it through symbols like the rock and the river or the sun and the stars. Whichever you prefer, it's all perfect. And I encourage you to use the language or symbols that resonate most with you. I love and resonate with all of these, but in my personal life, I most often use masculine and feminine and firm and fluid, so I'll keep swapping between these pairings throughout the book. Despite the traditional allocation of masculine energy, i.e. the firm, yang, Shiva side of the equation, to men, the feminine energy, i.e. the fluid, yin, Shakti side to women, we all possess both types of energy, regardless of our gender. And every relationship possesses both energies too. This is nothing to do with our gender or sexuality. Within a same-sex partnership, there are firm and fluid energies, and they're present in platonic relationships as well as romantic ones. understanding how to dance between these two types of